Next thing
in Shul,
isn't it?
Yeah, Shul. That's a new one. I never heard of Shul. Okay. Okay, good morning. Good morning. We're going to learn today Mi'irtz Hashem, Be'ezras Hashem, Perek Yud of the Gevuras Hashem. And after we've done in Perek Tes explaining the sibos, the causes for Golus Mitzrayim, the reasons why HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought it. We had the elaborate, beautiful explanation of the three reasons given in the Gemara by the Maral, three approaches to those three, to that broad, those broad three tamim. The Maral continues here with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, Hashem's words to Avram Avinu in the Bris Bein Absarim. And he focuses, this perek actually, it could be divided into two parts. The first part is about two details, similar details, which are found in the Gzeras HaGolos. And the second part is sort of just going back to something he mentioned in the previous perek, and the very interesting drusha, very interesting original interpretation of the Maral on something which happened when Yosef HaTzadik was in Mitzrayim. Vayem Hashem al Avram yodea teda ki girge ezaracha beretz lo elohem v'avodnu v'inu aysam arba meir shona. It says, Hashem said to Avram, you should know that your children will be strangers in a foreign land for 400 years and they will be afflicted there. It says, actually, your children will be strangers in a foreign land and they will be enslaved and afflicted 400 years. And the nation that they serve I will punish, and then they will leave Rechush Gadol, you will be buried fine, and the fourth generation will come back here. So the Maral wants to explain two things here in the Pasuk. He says, we know that the Jewish people weren't in Golus for 400 years. So this is just sort of like introductory. We know the Jewish people weren't enslaved, and they weren't even in Mitzrayim for 400 years. As Rashi makes the calculation, if you figure all the years of Kohath, who came down to Mitzrayim, and all the years of his son Amram, and all 80 years of Moshe Rabbeinu, it doesn't add up to 400 years. Kohath went down to Mitzrayim, he was already alive, and his grandson Moshe, when he was 80, came out of Mitzrayim. Right? So if you take all the years of Kohath, all the years of Amram, all the years of Moshe, it doesn't add to 400. How much more so when you figure correctly that Kohath didn't have Amram on the day that he died, and he was a certain age when he came into Mitzrayim, and Amram didn't give birth to Moshe on the day that he died, so there's even overlap between them. So where's the 400 years? So Chazal say that the 400 years were going back to the Bris Bein Absarim, when Hashem spoke to Avram Avinu, or when Yitzchak was born, right? That was the beginning of the 400 years. But then, what's the pshat in the pasuk? So says Maral, what you have to do is you sort of have to parse the pasuk. Geriyah zaracha, you will be strangers for 400 years, because indeed, as Chazal show, from the time that Yitzchak was born, there were already travels for the Avos. They weren't so settled down, and the shibud and the inui were less than 400 years. The enslavement and the affliction were less than 400 years. The 400 years was set on being a stranger, of having to travel, that was set to begin with. So, and as he goes on, he says, the Dairavi, the fourth generation that will come back here, that we find in Mitzrayim. Now, the idea being that, again, Levi came down to Mitzrayim, and his fourth generation Moshe already came back, or whatever. However, they make the cheshbon that the fourth generation actually returned to Eretz Yisrael. So, what the Maral really wants to speak about here is the idea of 400 years of Golos and four generations of Shibud. What's the recurrence of the number four? And we know, of course, Pesach is filled with the number four. What's the idea over here of the four? And even beyond this, of course, we know that, and the Maral cites this, that when Avram Avinu got this promise of the Bris Bein Absarim, It was right following the battle that he had against, you guessed it, the four kings. And the four kings represent not just four kings of some areas there in Chumash, it described in that time, but it represents the Arba Malchias, the four kingdoms that represent the span of Jewish history from the time we came to Eretz Yisrael, that we at some point we struggled at the hands of the kingdom of the Babylonians, then the kingdom of the Persians, then the kingdom of the Greeks in the second Beis HaMikdash, then the kingdom of the Romans that destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash, and we are considered dealing with until this day. So four kings representing the four kingdoms. And even in the Bris Bein Abesarim, we mentioned before that there's a remez, there's a hint to the four kingdoms, right? That Eima, Hashecha, Gedaila, Naifela, Salav, that it's understood that the various things that they were dealing with, that they were dealing with here in the Bris Bein Abesarim, all the warnings and the consequences, and so on, it was relative to the Mitzrayim, but also in a broader sense, it was a hint to all the exiles that the Jewish people would suffer. And we discussed this at length earlier, you know, before Pesach. I recall that we discussed this at some length. So again, the four Goliaths, the 400 years, the four Dairis, the four generations of Shibud. What's the idea here? That we have this, and in fact, Avram Avinu, whose side was he on? Was the battle of the four kings against five kings, and Avram Avinu was on the side of the five. The Maral here invokes a principle, which he teaches in many places. Those of you who may have been with us for the Ner Mitzvah about Chanukah, so the Maral writes about this extensively at the beginning of the Ner Mitzvah. For obvious reasons, because the first half of the Ner Mitzvah is about the Arba Goliaths, about the four exiles. So Maral writes there about the idea why it is four exiles. He writes about it in many places, but that's another place where he writes about it. And the Maral establishes this idea. And it's an idea that we, in fact, talked about last week on one dimension, and we speak about it here with when we spoke about 2 verses 3. We're going to speak about it here today on two dimensions, where we speak about 4 verses 5, and now speaks about in other places where he speaks about it in three dimensions, where he speaks about 6 verses 7. What does that mean? Because let's remember what we talked about last week. Last week the Maral spoke about the fact that Avram Avinu would necessarily have golus to his children, to the extent that we are to some degree B'nai Avraham. And even though we're B'nai Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov, but at the in a certain sense we are purely B'nai Avram, B'chach Heisman, so we say Elikei Avram, Elikei Yitzchak, Elikei Yaakov, but then we just say Magen Avraham, because Avram was alone, was one. And when you have one in this world, the only one that's a one that's complete, that covers everything, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Otherwise, one is a piece. One is an extreme. One is just a part. In Hashem's world, one is everything. Hashem Echad. In the world of the spirit, Echad is there's an indivisible Echad. But in this world, which is a world of division, one is one piece. And in order to be able to create a unity, it has to be a unity of several pieces, of several parts, where you bring together various components. That's why, what he explained last week was, why we needed to have Yaakov Avinu to complete the chain of the Avos, to complete the wholeness, because when you have one over here and one over there, right, the two poles of a single dimension, they're separate, they're apart. That's why Avram Avinu had some, right? His Yitzchak was great, but he had some falaf, Yishmael, because he couldn't cover everything. And Yitzchak was another extreme. But then you need Yaakov Avinu, who is the Tiferes, the harmony that brings together these two poles. You need something to bring together the various parts and forge one from many. So that's why Yaakov cures the sin. breaks the issue of separation and of division. That's why Yaakov, all of his children are part of the Jewish people, because he's not a piece, he doesn't occupy an extreme, but he harmonizes and makes whole. That's what we learned last week. That's on a single dimension. We learn about it in other places, about, like we said, on three dimensions, right? Because the world has three dimensions. And each dimension has poles, right? If you take a cube, this end, this end, this end, this end, north, south, east, west, and then up, down, right? So that's the six days of the week, where you work on all the different disparate pieces within the world, in all different directions. Shabbos is supposed to be the center, the emtza, the middle. Shabbos brings all those poles together. What we speak about here, the Maral speaks about, is the two dimensions. Because you have the Arba Kanfes Haaretz, the north, south, east, west, the four corners of the earth. And when you have it on two dimensions and the extremes of both dimensions, so you end up with four. You end up with four, and four, says the Maral, represents the division, the physical poles that exist within the world. And that is that which is misnaged, that which opposes the unity which Klal Yisrael is supposed to have, which Klal Yisrael is supposed to bring. The Pasuk says Avram was Echad. And in a certain sense, as we saw before, Echad hay Avram. In a certain sense, that's a weakness of Avram. He's just the Echad. But on the other hand, what's Avram Avinu's role? His role is La'achais, to bring together, Achais La'nuktana, the Medrash says, to bring together Kol Boi Olam. When you bring together the four, what are you? You are the fifth in the middle that links together the poles from the four sides. The center point, right? When you have the map, right, and you have that thing on the side, north, south, east, west, there's a midpoint. The midpoint is the point which is ma'ached, the four ktsavos, the point which unifies the edges. That's the Avoda of Yisrael, that's the place of the Jewish people, that's the place of Avram Avinu within the world. Golus is when the Jewish people are subordinated under an image or under a vision of Pirud, of separation, of Arba Kanfei Soretz, of four corners of the earth. Geula is when it is to some degree supposed to be restored. That was the role of Avram. Avram Yechidei Shalolam in the language of the Maral is Goyver al hatstadim asher yoytzi migeder ametzius. He overcomes the tstadim, the extremes, the sides that leave what true being is supposed to be. It's the one versus the four. And every shibud, every part of it, is going to be the one versus the four. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the idea of this unifying idea. Now the Maral speaks about this as well in other places, and one thing which I like to point out, I think it's a significant thing, is that it's not just here. When Avraham Avinu bought his first portion in Eretz Yisrael, what was it? It was 400 silver pieces when he bought it from Ephraim. When Avraham Avinu wanted to come back to Eretz Yisrael after being in Golus of Lavan, what did he encounter? Esav coming with 400 men. It's always like that. Very fascinatingly, Eretz Yisrael itself is described in Chazal as being 400 parsa by 400 parsa, which is clearly a figurative number, because Eretz Yisrael, everybody knows, is not very square, right? So, nevertheless, there is this idea. The Maral later, we're not going to go into it now, but in Perek Chav Gimel he revisits this idea, and he has a fascinating thing where he explains that right? Is this in this one? He has two places where he refers to this, and hold on. I'm not sure. I just want to quote the right sources.
Where miracles occur,
huh?
Is that center point the point where miracles occur? When
that's where everything, right? That's, yes. That you could say it that way. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. Right. And Maral darshans on a little bit about the the number five, that it's a prime number, it can't be divided, like, you know, that's, you know, 3, 5, and 7, they're all prime numbers that can't be divided. And likewise, he says, even the pronunciation of the letter hey, other letters you're able to divide in pronunciation, the letter hey you cannot divide in pronunciation. And he brings a chazal that says that Hashem appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu in the sneh, in the thorn bush, because the sneh type of thorn bush has five leaves. The way the clusters is in five leaves. And it's related to Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, and Aaron. Right? So again, somehow, again, we have three of us, we have the five, we have the Shiva Sarayim. So again, you know, it's always true depending on whether you're using one dimension, two dimensions, or three dimensions. In Perek Chavav, he has a fantastic thing, which Mir Tashem hopefully one time we'll get to, which is how the Aleph Beis, which is the creation of the world as we know it, was created with the Chaf Beis Isis, with the 22 letters, as is on display in Megillas Eicha. There's a Mesira from Chazal that Menatzpach, which is the final Mem, and the final Nun, and the final Tzadi, and the final Pei, and the final Chaf, are the letters of Geula. Right? There's such a Chazal which he discusses there. And he says, because where are they? In our thing is after 400, right? The final Mem is 500, the final Nun is 600, whatever, or final Chaf, however the order goes. But it's already, again, it's going beyond the Arba Meis. So we'll deal with it when we get there. But he darshans on it, you know, in this way in many places. And again, he speaks about it at some length at the beginning of the Ner Mitzvah. He alluded to it before in the Sefer. The idea is bringing together. And I'll just tell you a beautiful thing which the Maral says, actually in Perek Aleph of the Netzach Yisrael, which is also, of course, about Golus and Geula, where he says as follows, that if you look at the words, the word for Geula is Goal, and the word for Golus, the base word, the root word, the Shairish, is Gola. Right? Both of them have the same two letters, Shoresh, the same two letters of the Shoresh with Gimel Lamed. But the extra letter is an Aleph in the case of Goal, and it's a letter He in the case of Gola. What's the Aleph versus the He? What's the Aleph versus the He? So the Maral explains that Goal is bringing everybody together, is unifying the disparate parts in a real way. Ata echad v'shimcha echad u'mika'amcha Yisrael goyechad ba'aretz. Right, we daven Shabbos Mincha. Right, it's written in sources in the Torah that the tefillah of Shabbos Mincha corresponds to the Shabbos of the end of days, the Shabbos of Yemei Samashiach, of Bayem Ahu Yeh Hashem Echad Ushmei Echad. On that day Hashem will be one and His name will be one. And that's why we start, Ato Echad V'Shimcho Echad. But then what do we say? And Klal Yisrael is a Goy Echad Ba'aretz. Because Geula brings true unity to the Jewish people. Yesterday we bench Rosh Chodesh, what did we say? You'll gather together those of us who have been pushed away to the four corners, or from the four corners of the earth. Our first bracha, prayer of redemption and davening, is Tekab B'Shoy for Godel Cheruseinu, the Son is Tekab B'Shoyseinu, Kapteinu Yachad Me'arba Kanfei Soretz. Bringing us together from where we have been scattered on the four corners of the earth. And so he says, the Aleph is the letter of Geula, the unity, and it's in the middle of the word, because in fact that's what it's doing, it's bringing everything together. Whereas when we speak about Golus, the Sherish is Gola, and the first of all, it's at the end of, the Hay is at the end of the word, which is pushed away, it's at an extreme, because that's what Golus does. Golus is Pizur, is scattering of the people to the edges. So what should have been called, I know what you're thinking, what should have been called? Golad. Right? It should have been called Golad. It should have been a Dalad. Huh? But that would be ice cream, right? And it wouldn't be so good. Right? It's not good when ice cream isn't good. So therefore it's not it, right? So why is it Gola? Why is it Gola? Someone else says something beautiful. And I would just relate it to to another Maharal. Let's first let's say what the Maharal says here. He says that the truth is that in the even in the Golos, where Kal Yisrael is spread to the four corners, there's still something of a core connection that binds them together. If it was a Golos which was mamish four corners without anything which bound us together, then we would be finished. But the idea is, even in the dispersion, even in the Golos, there is something at the center that holds us together. Right? If you want to have a picture of it, it's the Beit HaMikdash. Why? Because as the Chazal tell us elsewhere, the Beit HaMikdash is called Tel Talpiyos. Why? Talpiyos, it's called, excuse me, because it is the mountain towards which all mouths turn. Right? If you're in China, if you're in America, if you're in South Africa, if you're in Australia, wherever you are, you point towards Yerushalayim, right? We're used to pointing Mizrach, but they don't have Mizrach signs in Australia, right? Wherever it is, wherever they're turning toward, don't ask me, I'm very bad with geography, right? But whichever the right direction is, that's where they point towards Yerushalayim. There's still a Koyach HaMa'ached. There still has to be a live power that unifies, even though it's not overpowering because we are spread in different directions, but there still has to be, and that's the hey, that's the five. That's the five of Golos. If it would be Golad, there would be no Geula, right? If because it's Gola, there will be. There will be. And Maral says this idea in a very beautiful and very early place, very beautiful. He says it in the beginning of the Chumash, where Rashi says that Olam, it says, Kibako Hashem Tzur Olamim, Rashi brings it Chazal, Hashem created the world, Tzair Olamim, with Ka, with the first two letters of his name, with a Yud and a He. And Rashi brings what Chazal say, that Hashem created Olam Haba with a Yud and Olam Hazeh with a He. And he said the idea is because the Yud, yes, it's 10, 10 is mispar katan, 1, 10 is 1, right? Those are the units of numbers that we have. In a certain sense, yes, it's that of bringing everything together, molds 10 together, mamish into 1. And he says, but it's also, the yud looks that way because it's a pintala, right? In a certain sense, the most elaborate letter is the aleph, right? It's a combination of two yuds and a vav and whatever it is. Right, but the yud is a pintle, it's a dot. It's single, it's simplicity, it's unity, which is Olam Haba, the world of Ruchnius. Olam Hazeh, this world was created with a hay. Why? Because a hay is a dalid with a yud inside. It's a dalid representing the four corners, those four edges, the extremes that exist within the physical world, but there's a core inside of it. There's a center point that unifies it, and that's the yud that's in the middle of the hay. That brings it together, that unifies it. That yud is the one that brings it together. That's like the hay of gola versus the aleph of goal. Goal, ultimate redemption, is b'vchinas olam haba, like the world to come, where the one is absolute. In golos, the one is not absolute. In golos, it's spread out. But the spreading isn't absolute either. If the spreading was absolute, then it wouldn't be able to have it to bring it together. That's why it's the tefillah that's focused on the Beis HaMikdash. That's going to be the key to Geula. That's why Shabbos, you need Klal Yisrael to keep Shabbos in order to bring us together, because Shabbos is the unifier of the six corners, the 6 days of the week, into the unity of the Sheva, of the seven of Shabbos. So all of these things, it's about bringing one from many. And that's why the Golos is experienced as 400 years, as four generations of Shibud. That's why we had to go through that before we would come to Geula. That's why Avram Avinu is fighting with the five kings against the four kings. The four kings represent the Golos, and Avram Avinu is the fifth, the one that brings together the center point of the four in those dimensions. Yes.
Because Mor Megillah makes this point about the number 3, 5, and 7. I never thought about it, but it puts them all together. Berachos Kohanim, I think, also by it brings it from the Roi Pnei HaMelech, and doesn't also say it by like Elias also. It puts these three numbers kind of as like they're a set.
Correct. I can never figure out. I've tried to figure out, I've even asked, when we use the one dimension, when we use the two dimensions, when we use the three dimensions. I don't know how that works. Right? As we mentioned last week, we say, blessed is Hashem who gave the triple Torah, Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim, to the triple people, Ka'anim Levi'im Yisraelim, and the triple, on the third month, Nisan or Sivan, so you have three, and then, you know, we have Chamisha Chumshei Torah, and we have, you know, this thing over here of transcending the four with the five, and then we have the seven. I mean, seven's unbelievable what we do with the sevens, right? Seven's over the top, Shabbos, and Shemitah, and...
12 and 13.
When do we do it? I don't know exactly what the system is.
Well, I was thinking of that in the sense that I always think the world is a sphere, so the whole, you know, four corners, and why is it two, why is it dollar, you know, but I guess in human experience, really, the world's flat, you know? I mean, we think of the sun rising, we don't say that really it's just, you know,
right.
So it is.
Okay.
It's really how we see it.
Yes.
So Avram was with the five, which kind of makes him sixth, not the fifth, right?
No, but he was taking the side of five malachim versus taking the side of four malachim. That's the way he asked. Okay. Now the Maral goes on, and that's part one of Perek Yud of the Gvuras Hashem. Part two. To tell you the honest truth, I'm not really sure why he has it here and why he didn't have it back in Perek Tes. It sounds like it would really belong towards the beginning of Perek Tes. Because in the beginning of Perek Tes, if you remember, he was speaking about the reasons for Golos Mitzrayim. So he starts this second part by saying, you've now been explained the reasons for Golos according to Chazal, and it's correct. Don't deviate from what they say. Right? Remember, this is sort of like has been his mantra in this discussion. The Ramban found the reason for Golus, and Chveis, the Abarbanel, found the reason for Golus, and somebody mentioned to me that the other one was the Nesivus, but of course the Maral wouldn't be quoting the Nesivus because the Nesivus lived after the Maral, but he said this thing about Yisur and Shalava. Right, but he says, "What? He had kashas on this one, kashas on that one." He says, "Let's look what the Gemara says. Let's see what Chazal say." And so he explained beautifully what Chazal had to say. But now he goes back to banging against the second reason, which was found in the Abarbanel, which was that this is because we went into Golos because of the chet of Yosef and his brothers. And if you remember what the Maral said there was, what are you talking about? It's the other way around. The story of Yosef and his brothers came about because there was a gzeirah that the Jewish people would go into Golos. The Jewish people didn't go into Golos because of this thing of Yosef and his brothers. Yes, that was the event that triggered it. That was the event that triggered it. But it wasn't the original cause. Farkert. Chazal say, Vayishlachim me'emek Chevrayim, he sent him from the valley of Chevrayim, Me'itza Amuka, Shalei Say Tzadik HaKover B'Chevrayim, from the deep plans of that righteous one who was buried in Chevrayim, from the Gzeiras Bein Absarim. That's why Yaakov sent Yosef to go to his brothers to bring the whole story about. So that's the Maral's approach. That what happened there, to some degree, was just to make sure that this happened. Now again, it's a very fascinating dynamic, because the whole story of Yosef is having this duality. Yosef, to some degree, holds the brothers blameless for what happened to him. Right? He says, you don't have to worry. It wasn't you who sent me here. It was Hashem who sent me here. On the other hand, we certainly know that the brother selling Yosef is considered to be a major chet, a major sin. How do you reconcile those two things? Right? It says the sin of the brothers of Yosef. I mean, we read about the 10 martyrs. We trace it back to the brothers of Yosef. Like, what's going on? How do you reconcile those things? So, simply, the way we understand it is that what Yosef is saying to the brothers is, I don't have resentment to you because you didn't ruin my life. Because this was destined to happen. You see, from the way things came together and the role which I'm playing here in Mitzrayim and for you, that this was meant to be. And therefore, I'm not going to turn to you and say, you made me have this all this suffering, because this was clearly meant to be. However, the brothers did do a chet, right? They didn't know that they were bringing about the golos. They thought they were just bickering with their brother and selling him down the river. So therefore, for them, it was a matter of choice. But Yosef, as a person, doesn't resent them. And in the thinking of the Maral, that's the idea. The fact that they went down to Mitzrayim was because they were destined to go down to Mitzrayim, predestined to go down to Mitzrayim, before this story happened. That's why they went down. So don't tell me that the cause for going to Mitzrayim was this event. They were predestined to go down to Mitzrayim, like we say, Vayishlacheu Me'im Et Chevron. Yes, there was a sin of the brothers, and it's certainly significant that it feeds into the golos, but it's not the original cause of the golos. And the Maral here says, in this remaining of the Perek, he engages in some very creative medrash, in a certain sense his own medrash. He says like this: L'fikach ramaz Yosef dvar ha-mechir li-Yakov aviv shle-yanish ha-zbonav al-shem-achru shi-gzir men-ashmayim k'dei she-yerdu Mitzrayim. He says, Yosef hinted on the matter of his being sold by the brothers, to the extent that Yaakov may have been aware that it happened. He was going to hint to him that he shouldn't hold them responsible for what happened. How's that? Because it says that Yosef sent his father Asara Chamayrim Naisim Mitzuv Mitzrayim, 10 donkeys carrying of the good stuff of Mitzrayim, the Eser Asainais, and 10 female donkeys, Naisais Bor V'lechem U'mazayin La'aviv, carrying food and grain and so on for his father, till he would be able Laderev to come back. So says the Maral, essentially his own medrash. He says to his father, he sent Kozais as this. Why doesn't it say to his father he sent 10 donkeys and 10 donkeys? But when it says Kozais, it's underscoring that this, what he sent, was very precise. There was a particular purpose for it. And what is it? 10 donkeys. How many brothers sold Yosef? 10 brothers, right? The 10 Arugei Malchus, right? The 10 brothers. There were 12 sons. Binyamin was not involved in selling Yosef. The 10 other brothers were involved in selling Yosef. Those were the 10 donkeys. What does that mean? Says the Maral, what happens when you have a donkey that's carrying freight, that's carrying baggage? Does the donkey have any idea what it's doing? Does that donkey have any idea what it's carrying? You just take the donkey and you load it up with the stuff and you say, go. And the donkey is a mindless purveyor of what was put on top of it. Says the Maral in his own medrash that when Yosef was choosing the 10 donkeys, it was to correspond to the Aseres HaShvatim. Now that's not nice. Nice thing to call your brother's donkeys. Right? But the idea was, what he was saying was that in this action, where they acted terribly, they weren't acting really on their own. They were just the donkeys. Right? The donkey represented as the chamor, right? The chaymer, the mindless material. They were just acting in a certain sense to make something happen. The Jewish people had to be delivered to Golos. The brothers were the delivery system. The truck doesn't know whether it's carrying widgets or whether it's carrying logs or whether it's carrying, Rahman al-Utslan, whether it's carrying wonderful medications or whatever it is. It's just carrying it. It's just doing its job. That's the idea of Kazais. Shashvatim asher mochru esei lo hayu lemechirosei rakumei achamar shunaisei masav eini edei atachlas masa azeh shunaisei. It's like a donkey. He doesn't know what he's carrying it for. He's just carrying it. Kachashvatim ayu peilim amechir azeh v'lo yoyde mayim aysim. So to the shvatim, they were just instruments. They were like the donkey. They were doing what they were supposed to do, but they really had no idea what they were doing. It's like they were doing the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like a donkey does the will of its master. Just take him there, no questions, that's the way you do it. And if this isn't enough, the Maharal adds a beautiful, beautiful thing to the Medrash. He says, yeah, of course, their intention was because they hated him. They wanted to get rid of him. But the fact of the matter is that they were just acting as the donkeys to bring the Jewish people into Golus. But he says a beautiful thing. He says he actually sent 20 donkeys. 10 males and 10 females. And the 10 males were carrying the good stuff of Mitzrayim. And the 10 females were carrying the grain, the basics of Mitzrayim. Says the Maharal, beautiful, mamish beautiful, that there would be two things which we could say that the Jewish people went to Mitzrayim for. In the days of Yosef and his brothers, why did they go to Mitzrayim? They went to Mitzrayim to survive, to have their basic physical sustenance addressed. There was a famine in the land, and so they went from Mitzrayim to Mitzrayim because they heard that's where they could get bread. They didn't go for goodies. They went for bread, for basics, for survival. So what's that mean? Says the Maharal, that's the Bechina of the Asinais. That's the female. The female is Chamris. And this is just the basic physical survival that's needed over here. The basic physical survival that the Jewish people went to Mitzrayim for. That was one purpose, that the brothers were sort of the donkeys to bring them down to Mitzrayim for their basic physical survival. But ultimately, there would also be a second stage. And the second stage would be where Klal Yisrael would leave Mitzrayim with Vayinatzlus Mitzrayim. They would leave Mitzrayim and leave it empty. And in fact, Chazal say, the Medrash says, that when he sent them to Mitzrayim on the donkeys, he was indicating to them that in the end, Tuv Kol Eretz Mitzrayim, Lochemu, etc., Asidim, Nisnabesha, Asidim, Lasay Soysaka, Mitzulah Shem Badogim, the Jewish people would empty out Mitzrayim of all of their good stuff. In other words, what would happen? They wouldn't go to Mitzrayim just simply as dependents to survive based on the largesse of Mitzrayim. But they would actually go to Mitzrayim and dominate Mitzrayim and take away every positive thing that Mitzrayim had. That is Bevechinas Zachar. That is the aspect of the male donkeys here in this case, which are supposed to be putting on the tzura. They're not supposed to be just survival, but giving the structure and the form in order to be able to, in order to be able to have more. Says the Maharal, that's the two things which came out of Mitzrayim. Survival and then Geula, which wasn't survival. Geula was the imprint, was taking everything good out of Mitzrayim. So there were the donkeys who took everything good out of Mitzrayim to bring to Yaakov Avinu. And there were the donkeys who brought the survival food out of Mitzrayim to Yaakov Avinu. And so Yosef was saying, there are big things that are to happen here from Mitzrayim. And the brothers were just the donkeys, the vehicles to make it happen, to in order to put it in place what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's original plan was. So that's, again, this is the Maharal continuing his offense against the earlier pshat which was brought, that the Jewish people went into the Golus because of the Chet of the brothers. He says, no, the Chet of the brothers was just a means of bringing about what was said before. You got your chicken and egg mixed up, whichever one is which, right? But you got mixed up what's the original source. And he's darshaning, mamash, a creative medrash in this pasuk of the Asara Chamayrim and the Eser Asoinais, that this is a hint to what was doing, aligned with the two purposes, the two goals which would emerge from Mitzrayim. I think it's mamash, incredible, incredible original medrash of the Maharal here, yeah?
So, can you answer a question that always bothered me? Because Yosef may have sent that message and Rebbe said, well, it's not nice he's calling that. It's very possible the pasuk's doing exactly the same thing, because in that parsha, there are six times where the Torah says them and their donkeys, they're going to take us and our donkeys. He went into fight Fuver's donkeys, and two of them are
good.
Singular.
You asked me this one, I think.
Yes, two of them are singular and four of them are plural.
Yeah.
Which means that there's ten. Because two of them are one and then the other four are two. So that means that the Torah itself is referring to them ten times as donkeys. So Yosef's just repeating the message that the Torah is
interesting.
Also telling
very
us.
Interesting. Nice. Very interesting. Very interesting. Very interesting. It's also what I'm thinking of, especially my mind is on it because of last Sunday. But the Chamorim play a significant part in Yetzias Mitzrayim. We have the mitzvah of Peter Chamor because the Chamorim carried the goods of the Jewish people when they left Mitzrayim. So instinctively that's what you would see indicated here amongst the Chamorim. But one could extend the drasha a bit further and say that now the donkeys become donkeys and the people become people. Right? By Yetzias Mitzrayim, by Matan Torah, now our exodus is conscious. Right? We're not sort of just being manipulated to have something done, but now we take over. I don't know. One could darshan it, but it begs discussion. Yeah.
You're saying that Yaakov brings together, and he has a shlemus because he has multiple things that he makes one, and this is reflected at, because he said that all his children were good, but I'm not sure where it goes, but then even though they were all shalom, let's say, but then it fell apart. Like then they had the whole thing with Yosef where they weren't one. And then Yosef's job was to unify them again. So
correct.
It's often said that Yosef's like Yaakov, but that was already halfway into Mitzrayim, whereas, we're saying that the cause of Yosef going down was before that the story ever happened. But it
simply wasn't really completed,
the unification
of the issue of the period between the brothers is what's very significant. Again, it's not the time for us to completely talk about it right now, but, when Yaakov Avinu was on his deathbed, so he wanted to be Megala, the Ketz, he wanted to reveal the end of days, the Mashiach, to his sons. And it was hidden from him. And he said, maybe one of my children isn't virtuous. Maybe I have an Esav, maybe I have a Yishmael in the bunch. So they said, no. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. They reassured him that everybody was faithful to Hashem Yisbarach. So then why did Hashem hide the Ketz from him? So I think, Poshut, the answer is because each one of them had Hashem in mind. Each one of them had in mind Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, but they weren't together.
It wasn't that
they weren't together. There was no Yishmael, but they weren't together. That's a further madrega which is needed. Yaakov Avinu succeeded that all of his children were dedicated to Hashem, but his children weren't yet in harmony. That was the chesaron. Even as they stood surrounding his bed, and that's why as soon as Yaakov Avinu died and is buried, right, they were in harmony. The brothers say to Yosef, now you're going to get us. That's why. Because for Geula you need not just that everybody is faithful to Hashem, but everybody is unified in their faith of Hashem.
Does anybody talk about faith of Abraham? Is it the faith of Yaakov that he gave the son's passing?
Well, the Gemara says that it was a mistake of helping to foster this kind of difficulty, but it traces itself back to Lavan, Bikesh Lakar Sakal, Lavan's damage, which he did by creating the two wives, which created this difficulty. Two wives created the difficulty. The natural state of brothers is love. There's such a thing as sibling rivalry. Brothers can hate each other. But the word ach is a term which is used for unity. Right? If a person has a tear in their garment and they want to sew it up, what's it called? It's called la'achot et hakera. Right? To brother it. To bring it together. The state of two wives, what's the name for that? Sarah. The natural state of two wives is division. Right? Marriage is exclusive by nature. Intimacy is exclusive by nature. So you have two wives sharing a husband. It's a recipe for disaster. It's a recipe for tension. Look what Lavan did. We speak about how, oh, Rachel was so dedicated to her sister, he gave her the simanim. And the rest of their lives is characterized by division. Why? Because that's exactly what he did. He turned them from achayos into tzarais. That's why the Torah says, Ishael achayso leisikach litzrar. Don't marry two sisters and make them tzaras. It's not just, oh, it's incestuous to be married to two women who are related to each other. The idea is you're taking two people who are supposed to be so connected to each other, that's the fundamental definition of connectedness, and you're putting them in a situation where by nature they'll be enemies of each other. Tzarar. Right? Tzaras isn't difficulties. Tzarar samidyanim means make them your enemies. Make them your tzarar. That's the problem. And we know that the enmity between Yosef and his brothers was because of that marriage to Rachel and to Leah. That's what took achayos and made them into tzaris, and that's what took achim and made them into having division. It was Yaakov Avinu's fault. That's love and bikesh lachar es hakol. Okay. But let's just finish here this parak of the Maharal.
Yeah, before I go too, if you could
Yeah. In the Medrash, the Maharal concludes by citing the Medrash that it says, when it says kol tuv Mitzrayim, is that it took gerisim shopul, which is sort of these, I don't even know how to translate it properly, but it's some kind of a grain, a basic cereal grain, and a bean, whatever it is. And the thing was that the Gemara discusses about how that would be ground up, and it would be ground up and made into many, would develop much more. It goes from beans and would become something bigger. They make from one many. And so the Medrash says that is that they send Gvisim Shalpul, explains the Maral, that was, again, he was telling them about the irony of Geula, of Golus. You're bringing, he says, Mitzrayim, you're going to come down to Mitzrayim, and they're going to pound you. And what's going to happen from them pounding you? You're going to break, you're going to multiply. V'chasher yanu eisai, kein yirbe v'chein yifritz. Again, Vayter darshaning, exactly what it is. That was the thing that they were doing. Now, consciously, maybe he was sending it to them, as the Medrash says, that it was Dover Abba Alakas Nefesh, it's something which people have for comfort, but it was to be comforted from difficulty, but the hidden thing is in this. And then he brings another medrash that he sent, Yayin Yoshon Shedav Zekenim Noicheimenu, old wine that Zekenim appreciate. And here again he says that the idea is that it was an old gzera, that they were supposed to drink this cup of wine, this kais of Golus, and he says, you'll see Mitzvah Hashem much later in the Gvuras Hashem, we're going to talk about the Kaisos of wine and why the Kaisos of wine are associated with the Golus. He says, Yayin Yoshan is Gematria, 430, which is the amount of years that we actually, it says when we left Mitzrayim after 430 years from the Gzeira. Right, all of this is just to show that when they went down to Mitzrayim in the days of Yosef, it's to fulfill the original Gezeira, the original decree of Golos. It's much bigger than anything else. And the brothers, without realizing it, were playing a role in this. Don't say that the cause, the originating cause of Golos Mitzrayim is Yosef and his brothers. Yosef and his brothers is actually just a step which HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranged in order to bring things about. So, Yirtzeh Hashem, we will continue next time with Perek Yud Aleph. Next time will not be next Sunday, because next Sunday will be the first day of Shavuos. But Mirat Hashem, we'll continue the following week with that session. Okay.